Are you living a life full of grace? Here's Pastor Jeff Shreve.
We're supposed to live as if Jesus died yesterday, He rose this morning, and He's coming back tonight. And you keep the death and the burial and the resurrection and the return of Christ so near and dear to your heart. And if you have that hope fixed on Him, you purify yourself just as He is pure. And the grace of God that brings salvation, that also brings sanctification, will one day bring glorification, and you and I can be the people that God wants us to be in these dark days in which we live. We can shine for Christ. There is truth, there is blessed, there is hope that you always dream of. He can heal every scar.
There are so many people each week who go to church Sunday after Sunday, going through the motions of religion, but not having actually answered the genuine call of grace from God. Here's the question. How about you? Do you truly understand what it means to answer God's call of grace? Today on From His Heart, Pastor Jeff Shreve continues his series entitled, For Such a Time as This, How to Overcome the Darkness by Living in the Light. And we're centering our thoughts today on the call of grace, what it means for daily living and for eternity. We're in part two of this lesson today, and you can catch up with part one when you go to fromhisheart.org. But we'll start by doing some catch-up from last time, so open your Bible to Titus chapter 2. Here's Pastor Jeff to explain what happens when you answer the call of grace.
I want you to notice three aspects to God's grace and the call of God's grace. Aspect number one, God's grace calls us to salvation. God's grace calls us to salvation. Verse 11 is very clear, for the grace of God has appeared, bringing salvation to all men. Now the grace of God, which appeared in the person of Jesus Christ. And He came for what purpose? The main reason He came was to bring salvation. Now that word salvation, soterion, means deliverance. It means rescue. Now, who do you deliver? Who do you rescue? People in trouble who need rescuing, who need delivering. People who are in a terrible, horrible situation, and they need to be rescued. Now, you mark it down. All of humanity needs to be saved. We're all in this thing called sin, and the Bible says all have sinned, Romans 3:23, all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God, and the wages of sin is death. Death. That is physical death. That is spiritual death. That is eternal death. All of humanity is in trouble, serious trouble. But now here's the good news. All of humanity can be saved because the Lord has appeared, the grace of God, as in the Lord Jesus Christ, has appeared, bringing salvation to all men. Second aspect, not only does His grace call us to salvation, but His grace calls us to sanctification. Sanctification, that's a big word, sanctification, big theological word. What does sanctification mean? Well, it means to make holy. It means to set apart from profane things and dedicate yourself to God. And it's God's grace that instructs us, it says in verse 11 or verse 12, the grace of God has appeared bringing salvation to all men, instructing us to deny ungodliness and worldly desires and to live sensibly, righteously, and godly in the present age. It teaches us. Now, we need to remember this about God's grace, because lots of people get this confused. We have a movement today called the hyper-grace movement. Hyper-grace movement says it's all about grace, and they blow up grace and they diminish truth. And that's what they were saying when Paul wrote the letter to the Romans. They had a faulty understanding, and they said, well, if sin brings grace, then let's sin some more, because if sin abounds, then grace comes even more fully. Where sin abounds, grace does much more abound. And Paul said, may it never be. That's not how it works. You don't continue in sin that grace might increase. You write this down. The grace of God is not a license to sin. That's not what it is. You say, well, if God covers me by his grace, then sin doesn't matter. And if sin abounds, grace is much more abound, then maybe it's good to sin because I get more grace. It's not a license to sin, God's grace. God's grace is given to instruct us that, hey, you've received Christ and he has saved you. He saves you out of this world and sends you back to this world to be a witness in this world. That's the plan for every Christian. The Lord says, you shall be my witnesses, both in Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and even to the remotest parts of the earth. How do we witness for the Lord? Just by our lips? No, also by our life. If you broadcast for the Lord and your life doesn't match it, then what do people say about you? You're a hypocrite. I mean, you talk to me about walking with Jesus and about being like Jesus. You know, when you name the name of Christ, people expect you to live like Christ. They expect you to be like Christ. If they expect that the sweet aroma of the knowledge of him is on your life. And if they don't smell any a part of you that smells like Jesus, they don't see any Jesus in you, then all you become is somebody that talks a big game, but is not real there. And you're a major turnoff when you are a total hypocrite. And if your light doesn't shine and all you do, your lips are flapping, but there's no substance, then you have no credibility. The Lord says in 1 Peter chapter 1 that as obedient children, do not be conformed to the former lusts which were yours in your ignorance, but like the Holy One who called you, be holy yourselves also in all your behavior, for it is written, you shall be holy, for I am holy. That's what God says. You shall be holy, for I am holy. You're a people for my own possession, verse 14. And God says, because you're my people, I want you to be like me. The grace of God instructs us to deny ungodliness and worldly desires and to live sensibly, righteously, and godly in this present age. God's grace changes us. And it changes our desires. If you've really encountered the true grace of God, it will change you from the inside out. Now, justification happens the moment you put your faith and trust in Jesus. Justification is God wrapping down his gavel, the judge of all the earth, wrapping down his gavel and says, not guilty. All the punishment went to Jesus. He died for all your sins. And the moment you say, Jesus, I want what you did on the cross to be applied to my sin-sick heart, then God does that, and you are purified, you're redeemed, you're set free, your name is written in the Lamb's Book of Life, you are saved. And then the Lord begins to work on you to make you like Jesus. That's the process of the Christian life. That's sanctification. He works on me to make me like Jesus. And hopefully, I'm a lot different today than I was 5 years ago. I'm more like Jesus today, hopefully, than I was 5 years ago, than I was 10 years ago. You know, when I first became a Christian, man, there was lots to change in me. And so the Lord began to work, and my friends began to notice very quickly something's happened to him. There's something different about him. He's not doing the things he used to do. He's saying no to worldly desires. He's saying no to fleshly lusts. He's saying no to ungodliness, and he's starting to live different. People notice that. They look for that. It makes all the difference in the world. Now, let's be honest. When it comes to saying no to worldly desires, we all struggle with that. I struggle with it. You struggle with it. The Apostle Paul was like that. He writes in Romans chapter 7, the good that I want to do, I don't do. And the evil things that I don't want to do, I find myself doing. Anybody say amen to that? It's like that's the Christian life. You're like, Lord, I want to walk with you. I want to do what you want me to do, but I'm pulled by these sins that so easily entangle me. Scripture says in 1 John chapter 2, do not love the world, nor the things in the world. For if anyone loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him. Now, those are the things of the world. Now, what is in the world? All that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the boastful pride of life is not from the Father, but is from the world. And the world is passing away and also its lust, but the one who does the will of God abides forever. So do not love the world, nor the things in the world. For if anyone loves the world, now watch it, the love of the Father is not in him. How many have ever had the experience of driving in your car and the oil light comes on? Anybody ever had that experience? I had that experience once. I was a rookie salesman for waste management. The oil light came on, and my brain went somewhere else, and I kept driving until the engine blew up. And I came that close to losing my job. It was not a good deal. I've learned when the oil light comes on, you pull over. You say, hey, there's a serious problem here. But listen, whenever you're driving, if the oil light comes on, you know what you can do? You could say, well, that oil light's on. I don't like that oil light. I'm going to get a hammer, and I'm going to break that light, and I fix the problem. The oil light's not on anymore. That doesn't fix the problem. The reason the oil light comes on is because it's telling you your oil is low. There's not enough oil in the crankcase. And if you keep driving with low oil in the crankcase, you're going to have major failure. Hey, when you as a Christian start to feel this overwhelming love of the world, what does that tell you? It means that the oil is low in your heart. The love that you have for God is low. You need to get more oil, spiritual oil, in your crankcase, because everything flows out of our love for God. And if we're not walking with God, it just shows the Lord that we don't really love Him.
So how are your spiritual oil levels checking out today? May God use this lesson in your life. But we're not finished. Pastor Jeff returns in just a moment with more, so stay with us. The lesson today is entitled The Call of Grace from Pastor Jeff's series, For Such a Time as This, How to Overcome the Darkness by Living in the Light. And we really are living in dark times. So what does God want us to do in these dark days in which we live? The devil is working to destroy God's ways and God's people, including you and your family. And that's why we have to be aware of the times and wholeheartedly seek Him. The fact is, God created you and me to know that we were created, to know Him personally, and to shine and share for Christ in our lives. And now, Pastor Jeff's new series will help you to do just that. The series, For Such a Time as This, How to Overcome the Darkness by Living in the Light, will encourage and empower you to fulfill your real purpose in this life. It's available on CD, MP3 download, or on a USB flash drive. To get yours, you can make your gift when you call 866-40-BIBLE, 866-40-BIBLE, or go online to fromhisheart.org. This series will help you ditch the lukewarm approach to your faith and allow you to shine and share boldly for Christ. Again, call 866-40-BIBLE or go to fromhisheart.org. Let's get back to conclude this lesson called The Call of Grace.
When David sinned so terribly with Bathsheba and then had Uriah the Hittite killed, you know what the Lord, through Nathan the prophet, said to David? You despised me. Well, David loved God, but not when he did that. He was despising God. He was spitting in God's face, so to speak. He was doing that which he shouldn't have done, which brought such destruction and devastation into his life. But why did he do that? Because the love of the Father was low in his life. And if you're here today and you are feeling such a pull toward the things of this world, you're like Lot's wife as she is fleeing the city that's going to be destroyed with fire and brimstone. And they told her, don't look back. And what does she do? She looks back. Why? Because she longs for the city of sin. She was consumed in the judgment. Maybe you're like that. How do you fix that? You fall in love with Jesus. You spend time with the Lord. I had a friend of mine in college. He said, if you will spend time in the Gospels, you will see the works of Jesus. You will see and hear and read about the words of Jesus and what he said and how he interacted with people. And it helps you to fall in love with him all over again. A prayer that I've been praying for years now is this. Lord, give me a passion for you that far exceeds my passion for sin. A passion for you that exceeds my passion for sin. Hey, God's grace calls us to salvation. God's grace calls us to sanctification. And aspect number three, God's grace calls us to glorification. To glorification. Look what it says in verse 13. Looking for the blessed hope and the appearing of the glory of our great God and Savior, Christ Jesus. Now, salvation comes in three stages. You know, we talk about being saved, but really you could put three tenses on being saved. When I was 17 years old, I put my faith and trust in Christ and I was saved. And so if you ask me today, Jeff, are you saved? Have you been saved? I'd say, yes, I have been saved. And that happened in a moment in time in January of 1980, and I was saved. And what happened when I was saved was the Lord wrapped his gavel, not guilty. All my sins were put upon Jesus. They were paid for in Jesus. And I was forgiven, and the Holy Spirit came to live inside of me, and the Lord purified me and purchased me as a person for his own possession. That happened. That's justification. Just as if I'd never sinned. That's how God sees me. He sees every believer that way. Justified in Jesus. But now there's a second aspect of salvation. That's the present tense of salvation. That's this idea of sanctification, being made more and more like Christ. And that is the idea of I'm being saved because I'm being sanctified. I'm being changed from glory to glory. And the third aspect of salvation is one day I will be saved. And I will be saved. That comes when the Lord returns, the blessed hope. And when the Lord returns, he makes me like Jesus. And I become like the Lord Jesus Christ. See, I no longer have a body that longs for the things of this world. I no longer struggle with, well, I'm not supposed to do this, but there's a part of me that wants to do this. I don't have that anymore. When the Lord comes, then he transforms me and I am made like Christ. See, God will transform us at the appearing of Christ. And that's why we're looking for the blessed hope. It says in Philippians chapter 3, verses 20 and 21, for our citizenship is in heaven, from which also we eagerly wait for a Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, who will transform the body of our humble state into conformity with the body of his glory by the exertion of the power that he has, even to subject all things to himself. So we're waiting for the Lord to return. Because when the Lord returns, in the blessed hope that's spoken of in Titus chapter 2, verse 13, that speaks of the rapture. That can happen at any time. And when that happens, I'm glorified and I don't deal with sin anymore. I don't struggle with sin. I don't have warfare with sin anymore. As Paul said, the good that I do, I don't do. The evil that I don't want to do, I find myself doing. Wretched man that I am, who will set me free from the body of this death? Well, at the coming of Christ and the appearing of Christ, I'm set free from the body of this death. And I have a body and I'm made like Jesus. The scripture says that God wants us to live in the light of Christ's coming because that changes us. That helps us. That helps us in this thing called sanctification when we're looking forward to the return of Christ. John said this, 1 John chapter 3, see how great a love the Father has bestowed upon us that we should be called children of God. And such we are. For this reason, the world does not know us because it did not know him. Beloved, now we are children of God, and it has not appeared as yet what we shall be like. But we know that when he appears, we shall be like him, for we shall see him just as he is. And everyone who has this hope fixed on him purifies himself just as he is pure. You want to have something that will help you with those worldly desires, with the ungodliness that you struggle with, that I struggle with? Hey, fix your mind on the blessed hope. The Lord is coming back, and he could come back at any moment. You say, well, Jeff, I don't think he's coming back today. Well, that's one of the best evidences I know that he might. It says that at an hour when you think not, the Son of Man comes. If you don't think he's coming back today, he's going to come back today. He comes back in an hour when you don't think he's going to come back. And so think how differently you would live the rest of this day if you knew at any moment Jesus is coming back. At any moment, Jesus is coming back. Some people, after church, they go out and they get drunk. Some people, after church, they go out and they commit fornication or adultery. Some people, after church, they're going to do this or they're going to do that or they're going to do the other. And they don't think much about it. Hey, would you think differently if you knew that after church, Jesus is coming back? Yeah, it purifies. He who fixes his hope on this purifies himself just as he is pure. And he doesn't come back to get you. He comes back to bless you. And the Bible says in 1 John chapter 2, abide in him so that when he appears, we may have confidence and not shrink back in shame at his coming. Could you imagine the shame? You're participating in some sin that you know is wrong, Something that, I'm not talking about just, you know, you were speeding down I-35 and you weren't just kind of lost it and all of a sudden you were going, you know, 76 and a 75. I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about you are just blatantly sinning against God and he returns and you meet the Lord in the midst of your sin. Can you imagine meeting God that way? Everyone who has this hope fixed on him purifies himself just as he is pure. I'll close with this story. Dr. Joseph Stowell was the president of Moody Bible Institute from 1987 to 2005. He was visiting a home for mentally challenged kids, walking around and talking to the staff and seeing the kids. It was a Christian home, and they would teach these children about the Lord, and they would teach them about his love for them, and they responded in their way to respond to him, and they taught those kids about the blessed hope, about the fact that Jesus Christ was coming again one day, and they were excited about the second coming of Christ. And Dr. Stoll said he saw a window, and it had little handprints all over this window, all over the panes of the window. And he asked one of the workers there, he said, "What's up with all the handprints on the window?" And he said, "Those are from the children." He said, "They love to come to the window and press their hands and their face to the window to look up to see if Jesus might be coming today." Hey, that's how we're supposed to live, folks. We're supposed to live as if Jesus died yesterday. He rose this morning and he's coming back tonight. And you keep the death and the burial and the resurrection and the return of Christ so near and dear to your heart. And if you have that hope fixed on him, you purify yourself just as he is pure. And the grace of God that brings salvation, that also brings sanctification, will one day bring glorification. And you and I can be the people that God wants us to be in these dark days in which we live. We can shine for Christ. We're not perfect, but we're moving in the direction of, Lord, you are Lord of all in my life. We can shine for Christ and we can share his story and we can make a difference until he comes again.
Perhaps you know that you have answered the call of grace, that Jesus is indeed the Lord and Savior of your life, but your sin has caused you to feel distant from God and to live as though his coming is something that'll happen in the far distant future. Well, God is pulling you today. He's calling out to you. Come back to me. Confess your sin and surrender your life afresh to me, walking by the power of the Holy Spirit. Or maybe you know that right now, at this very moment, you have never answered God's call of grace. Well, you can. If you don't know Jesus in a personal way, if you've never surrendered to him in repentance and faith, you can do that today right where you are. Ask for forgiveness. And he will come in, and you'll never be the same. If you'd like to know more about how to do that and what it really means to surrender your life to Christ, we invite you to go to fromhisheart.org, click the Why Jesus link. It's on the homepage. Can't miss it. Great materials there to help you to get started in your Christian life. What a great lesson today called The Call of Grace. And you can listen again to it online anytime at fromhisheart.org. Click the Radio tab. There, too, you can download a free MP3 of this broadcast or any broadcast, and also the sermon outlines from Pastor Jeff. And there, too, you can also request the entire 9-message series for your gift this month of any amount. The series is called For Such a Time as This, How to Overcome the Darkness by Living in the Light. Call 866-40-BIBLE, 866-40-BIBLE, or go to fromhisheart.org. Well, that's it for today. Thank you for joining us. I'm Larry Nobles, and we trust the message was a blessing and that you'll be able to apply the truths that you heard today to everyday living and share it with others. We also invite you to join us on Wednesday for the next lesson in Pastor Jeff's For Such a Time as This series. Join us next time for the lesson, Are You Missing the Main Thing? Right here on From His Heart. From His Heart is the listener-supported broadcast ministry of Dr. Jeff Shreve, speaking the truth in love to a lost and a hurting world. Remember, no matter what, God loves you. and has a wonderful plan for your life. Find out more about that when you go to fromhisheart.org.